Was President Obama in his last State of the Union speech taking pages from the playbook of the corporate CEO? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As you've been hearing, the president tried to strike chords of optimism in his speech last night, and he did not shy away from economic themes. Presidents can project their role as commanders, as father figures, as politicians, but a lot of President Obama's rhetoric last night seemed almost corporate. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell watched the State of the Union speech, and he joins us from our studios in St. Paul.
He was the nation's CEO. And I know you've been to conferences where chief executive officers have talked about we live in a world of constant change and the need for innovation. And the word innovation and change came up again and again. The world of work has changed and we need to change with it, to use that word change again and again.
Well, the world of work has changed. The president was trying to make the case that, for instance, some of the healthcare reforms that he pushed were part of this. But he's very much, if you listen to the speech, very much for innovation. You just pointed that out. But being for innovation is a little like being for freedom. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Exactly. But I think he has, in his talk, he gave a little more nuance to that, David. Global climate change, for example. And rather than talking about this as a problem, he said, you know, this offers opportunities for entrepreneurs to come up with, you know, new markets. But the other part of it, he said, is look, the benefits of globalization are too great to pass up. But the price that's being paid by so many people is the worker. And the worker is losing their job. That we have a benefit system that assumes that a worker is going to be on the job for 30 years and they're going to get their retirement and their health care benefits.
Which in 2016 is a bad assumption.
It's a really bad assumption. What is, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, David, what, a quarter to a third of the workforce is now contingent, you know, the freelancers, the Uber driver, the contract labor. And so he stressed the importance of benefits that adopt to a mobile workforce. So reshape our benefit system for the new world of work. That is an important note to get out there.
Last night, reaction from Republicans, by and large, didn't seem to really focus on the economics. It was more about that issue of security, but in terms of national security.
Yes, it was really striking. I was flicking among the various television stations. And David, what the whole discussion was terror in Iran. There's a little bit of discussion about TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The whole economic discussion, this new world of work, entrepreneurship, innovation, benefits, completely skipped.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Let's check the markets. Another strong day for stocks in Europe so far. The 100-share index in London is up 0.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 1.1%, although the highly volatile CSI 300 in Shanghai fell 1.9% today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.6% range. Today in Washington, lawmakers are scheduled to hear about flood insurance. High water along the Mississippi River in the past couple of weeks will be one of the costliest winter floods in history. That price tag has some lawmakers wondering if the feds should get out of the flood insurance business altogether. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
If you've ever bought a house, you know part of the deal is getting insurance. It's more complicated in some areas of the country. Rafael Lemaitre is with the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
There are certain people who, as a condition of having their federally backed mortgage, are required to purchase flood insurance.
Most homeowners opt for a national flood insurance policy. You buy the policy from a private insurance company, but the federal government subsidizes it and pays out any claims. The insurance company just administers the policy. Carmen Balber is executive director of Consumer Watchdog. She thinks the feds would be happy to unload flood insurance to private insurers, but
to be perfectly honest, they're probably going to have to lower the bar a lot further to get widespread entry to the market by private insurance companies.
In other words, if the feds want to tempt the private insurers to rush in, they'll have to loosen the rules under which they operate big time. As for the homeowners, well, nationally only about 14% of them have a flood insurance policy. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Turns turns out it is a good time to have a PhD in economics. A recent report from the American Economic Association says the number of jobs in its listings requiring that degree jumped by more than 8% year to year. Reporter Sally Herships tells us why number crunchers of this variety are in such high demand.
Did you see The Big Short?
There's some shady stuff going down.
It's that new movie with Christian Bale, Steve Carell.
You know what? I'm pissed off. American people are getting screwed by the big banks. And I am getting madder and madder.
It's got rock music and stars, and it actually makes economics feel sexy. Since the recession, it's become, for lack of a better term, a hot topic, leading to a new trend.
Undergraduate students more frequently deciding to major in economics.
John Siegfried wrote the new report. He says there are 25% more econ majors now than there were in 2008. He says more students mean more teaching jobs for PhDs.
About 65% of PhD economists are employed by colleges and universities.
But the other piece of it is on the private sector side.
Tara Sinclair is chief economist at Indeed.com, the job site. She says as the economy improves, all kinds of companies, from banks to tech, want more economists on staff to help figure it out. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And last fall, the Chinese artist and dissident Ai Weiwei wanted to buy a ton of Legos for an art project. The Danish company that makes Lego refused, citing its policy that bulk purchases of the plastic bricks are not permitted if they're assembled to make a political statement. Now, when the company first said no, Ai Weiwei got boxes of Legos from supporters. Now, the news now is that Lego is reversing its policy and will stop asking customers what they're going to do with the bricks. Lego will now ask its customers to make clear that Lego in no way endorses their projects if they're made in public. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.